You are now listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo and James Hawk, episode 326.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited to be back on. I know it's been a while, so it'd be cool to catch up and talk about each other's businesses.
Absolutely, man. So this is a special episode. We've done now 326 of them. First time I have taken it away from Flip Empire HQ, aka my office, and we're here in your amazing condo, man. So,
awesome. So
why don't we start with your life is pretty damn good right now. You just moved from Jacksonville to Miami.
Yeah, man.
48th floor.
Yeah, no, it's going well.
I see you doing your thing. The operation in Jacksonville is crushing. The info side of your business is, has really taken off. So talk to me. What's going on?
Yeah, man. No, I mean, it's been great, right? Like a lot of things, like, and I don't talk about a whole lot, like change personally, right? So like I was in a long-term relationship. Basically we broke up, my girlfriend and I, after 5 years. I love Miami. I spent a lot of time in Miami. And it just made sense for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just like, look, let me go down here, change the vibe up, change like just the lifestyle overall, and really start digging into, having fun and like living life like to the fullest, right? Like I'm a hard advocate for it. I like going all the way, all the way in anything.
I know it. Believe me, I know it.
Yeah. Well, man,
that's what getting into business is about, right? It's about so that the business serves us,
right,
and our clients and our customers, not the other way around, which a lot of people fall into that trap. So
sure.
as a friend, it's awesome. You have there's a shift in your vibe and energy since I met you a couple years ago now.
Yeah.
So now, man, you just seem more relaxed. You're having a good time. You're in a beautiful city.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, look, your city is amazing, bro. Like,
your city now.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I love it here. I really like, because here's the thing, right? Like, a lot of people, don't even realize, like, I mean, I could have lived anywhere, right? Like, for the most part. Like, I mean, because the power of, like, when you set up a wholesale and a real estate investing business the right way, you can do it from anywhere in the world, really, when you think about it, right? So you don't have to like be at that location,
right,
if you have a good team and you set it up the right way. So I chose Miami, man, just purely on like I've been all around the country. This city just has this freaking vibe, man.
The energy,
man. Like, it's like no other place, right?
And you're single, so that doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, and I mean, obviously. But there's just a vibe here that's like no other city that I've been to. A lot of people say LA is like, really bad.
Miami's where it's at for you.
Miami, really.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Well,
you kind of touched on a few things. I wanna kind of put you on the hot seat about your team, processes, systems, because, man, with technology the way it is today, like you said, man, and a cell phone, you don't even need a laptop. A cell phone, you can run this business if set up properly with the right people.
Sure.
So why don't we give some people some context for the people that don't know you?
Yeah.
What does the business look like today? I know you have a very successful operation in Jacksonville. You just picked up and moved to Miami, like we're talking about.
Right.
What is the makeup of your team? What's your business model? Just give me an overview of what the operation is.
Sure. So we have about 9 people on the team, right? So that's the core. And then obviously we have vendors and like subcontractors, stuff like that. But man, what we did that this year, and I'll just kind of give you a quick like overview of it. We brought in these consultants that the energy and like the strength of the team and the way that they're working together, like right now, is unlike
shift.
Is a huge shift for the entire team. And a lot of it is like, you got to invest in your team, right? Like if you want them to be bought in on you and the vision of the company, where you're going, they really need to be bought into that and believe in you and what that vision is. So we really showed them that we're willing to go out and really invest heavily financially and obviously, mindset wise in them.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Man, I've always said, don't, if you're not going to invest in your team and in your people, don't hire them. Don't look, being an operator and running a business is not for a lot of people. I know it's the cool, sexy thing now. But it's hard to grow a business without a team, you know, if at all possible, right? Unless it's just a lifestyle business. What was it prior to you guys bringing on these consultants that was lacking with your team? Because obviously, if you're saying there's been a shift,
right?
Knowing you guys, I know you've invested in your team before. So what was different prior to bringing on the consultants?
Man, I mean, just being like just real and raw about it, right? Like we made some mistakes, you know, some leadership mistakes that we shouldn't have made. Just, you know, we weren't the best leaders we could possibly be at times. And that's because you get caught in this, like you're doing all these different things, right? Like you got a lot of stuff going on. It's easy to really like neglect, like giving them the time that they need.
Right.
And you know, it's important, man. So, I mean, we made some critical mistakes. We learned from it. I mean, I've been doing this since like what, 2010. So I'm going on like 10 years.
Yeah.
And you know, just honestly, man, we made some mistakes and we seen that, we noticed it. And we took action to correct it and make it better. Right.
Yeah.
And now, It's better than it's ever been before. Everyone works together so cohesively and so tight.
That's amazing.
They are literally like a family.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, you got to treat them like a family, man.
Absolutely,
they are. You got to care for your people.
Sure.
What's that saying? People, and I forgot. I don't know if it was Zig Ziglar. People don't know. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
You know, and I really tried to apply that with the people I've hired, and I know
I love that.
You've done the same exact thing. So. I think the biggest compliment I've been given about the podcast is how we're just vulnerable and we just don't share the wins, right? Because on Facebook, on social media, everybody's always posting.
Yeah.
You see the Lamborghinis, you see the checks, but people don't see like the failures, right? Or the lessons learned. What were some, you alluded to some of the mistakes you guys made. What were some of those mistakes and like, what did you learn from it?
Right. So, and that's a great question. So I think one of the biggest ones that we made, that we pinpointed, right, was going back to, and I kind of touched on a little bit, is not giving them the time, right? Where we have all this stuff going on. So like if they'd been working for us, you know, for a while or been part of the team, you know, we just really got to the point where it's like, all right, so you should really know this by now, you know, and we weren't allowing them to really voice their opinion on a lot of things as much as we should have.
Interesting.
And not saying that we were like, you know, being like
dictators
or anything like that. We weren't. We looked at it as like with good intentions, right? Like you got this, we believe in you. You know, but with all the stuff we had going on, we wouldn't listen as much to the feedback and, you know, take that as much to heart. I look at that, even though a lot of people would say, oh, you know, maybe that's not that big of a deal. Like, that's still not like horrible leadership, right? But for us, it was a big deal because we want to be amazing leaders and we want to be great at everything that we do. And we want our team to be great. So I looked at that as like, okay, that's a big mistake, right? Like, I should definitely been willing to spend more time in walking them through some of the stuff that they needed help with.
Got it.
Instead of being like, look, you know, you got this, you've been doing it for a while. Like, I'm just going to put it 100% on you instead of willing to just take that time, maybe that 30 minutes, an hour or whatever, and really just like help them progress. So that was a mistake that we made in the past.
Did they give you, I guess before you move on, James, did they give you that feedback? Like, did somebody in your team come to you and say, hey, I don't feel like you're available for me? Or talk to me a little bit about the dynamic.
How did you realize
the mistake?
We did. We had one of the team members come to us and like kind of let us know like how they felt about it. And, you know, which was great because I tell them all like, look, we want open communication everywhere. If you have any issues, the door's always open, let us know. So we weren't like making ourselves available. We just, you know, it's hard to say exactly.
I understand where you're coming
from. Just not giving them like as much as we should have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, really like as much as of the support as they really, really needed to thrive.
Okay.
And you know, there's a line there too. It's like, when does it start becoming, okay, maybe like this, some of these team members aren't right. Stuff like that. And you can really start going down that road.
Right.
But again, we brought in the consultants full, like give them like 100% trust that they were going to interview every member of the team, make sure they're in the right seats, mm-hmm. make sure that, you know, everyone that is, that was there should be there. And you know, they came back and said like, look, you know, honestly guys, like we go to a lot of offices, in a lot of different industries, you know what I mean? Like these are like, I mean, these consultants
they have a lot of experience.
Dude, like they go, they work with Fortune 50, Fortune 500 companies. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like CEOs. Yeah.
This was December, January that you guys hired them. Right? I remember at lunch.
January, yeah. They're not freaking cheap. So we want to bring in the best. That's like, that's what we always try to do. Bring in the best of whatever we need. And you know, they were like, look, your team is freaking phenomenal. One of the best offices that we've actually
been. Really?
Yeah. So that's literally what they're
told. That must have been a boost of confidence for you guys because, you know, that's on you that you put, you, not only did you identify the right people, but it's one thing to identify talent, bring them on and onboard them properly. It's another thing to make sure that they're operating in their best seat, right?
Yeah. So. Well, it felt great too that she, one of the consultants actually were like, look, if you ever let go of this person, I'll hire
him. Really? To that degree, huh?
To that degree. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It really, like, it made us feel great and obviously made us feel extremely proud of the team. You know?
Did that give you the confidence to go ahead and I know you had something personal in your life go on, but did that give you the confidence to pick up, move to Miami, knowing that, you know, there's a boost of energy and morale in the team, that you know you have people in the right seats, you know, right, taking care of what they got to take care of?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it, man. Because at the end of the day, like to do that, right, without having like a strong team, it's a ballsy myth, right?
It is.
Just to be straight up about it.
Which you would have done anyways, knowing you, right? But
probably.
That's a compliment, by the way.
Yeah, no. yeah, man. No, it was that confidence and knowing that they got this. Like, they're awesome. Right. They know what they're doing. And, you know, I believe in them, right? Hunter believes in them. So they really, really are just doing great. They're a great group of people. And I want to do everything that we can on our side to see them also further their own personal growth and success as well. Right. So, yes, to answer your question directly, that definitely gave me the confidence in that business to make a move like that.
Got it. Anything else aside from not investing in your team that you would say looking back? By the way, you referenced Hunter, good friend of mine, obviously.
Yeah, my business partner. Like my brother.
Guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Brother, great guy. What else, aside from investing in your team, would you say, hey, look, looking back now, that was a huge mistake that had we not course corrected, it could have really affected the business?
On the leadership side or?
Anything. Doesn't necessarily have to be leadership, but okay. is there anything kind of looking back? I would say
there would be times that, you know, like, here's the thing. Hunter and I are both visionaries, right?
Yeah.
So usually the best dynamic in like a partnership, right, with two people running a business, is that vision has to be 100% in alignment always.
Absolutely.
Right? You're always working towards the same exact thing. There's no questions about it. You're going straight at whatever it is both of you are wanting to achieve, right? So there would be times where we find ourselves, because we're visionaries, and you know, just like anything, there's a lot of opportunities everywhere, right?
And we want to chase it all.
And we're entrepreneurs. Like that is just who we are. Like both of us have been just selling stuff our entire lives, like always like creating, looking to, you know what I mean, like work for ourselves in some kind of way. So we would find ourselves there once in a while where like maybe one of us gets an idea that we want to like kind of like bring that in into the empire, if you would say, right? Like no pun intended.
No pun. I get it. But, you did
there. Right. So there'd be times that we would go to do that and maybe the other person was like, you know, I don't know, bro. Like, I'm not really like feeling that. Does it really like fall in line where we're at? So there'd be times that we'd fall in that a little bit. But you know, because of our relationship, man, and like how dynamic it is, and like we really are yin and yang, right? So like his skill sets, which he's got amazing skill sets, you know, his superpowers, he's great at those. I'm great at mine. And they really complement each other. And just our values and everything align. And we really are like, I mean, he's my best friend. We're like brothers. And we've always been able to get through anything that kind of like gets in our way just by like, you know, fully trusting in each other.
You have to have that trust. Man, James, partnerships are so challenging. I don't know what the stats are, right? But I would think that at least more than
the majority fail, for sure. Yeah.
You guys have been partners for now going on 10 years. And even though it sounds like sometimes you guys are not on the same page, you work it out because of that friendship, because of that, you know, the foundational elements of your partnership, essentially. Right. Have there been any moments between you and Hunter where you guys, like, you wanted to go left, he wanted to go right, and you guys just could not meet in the middle?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, we have never really gotten to the point where we were like, you know, okay, we're not interested in doing this partnership anymore. Okay. We always just seem to, like, work through anything, like, really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously communication is key in that.
Anything. Any relationship.
But, yeah, man, we always seem to be able to work through anything that kind of gets put in front of us.
Right.
And we haven't really got to the point where it was like anything close to, all right, this isn't working anymore or whatever. Obviously, is there times that he wants to go left and I want to go right? All the freaking time. You know what I mean?
So that's expected to a certain degree.
I mean, we're different, like, personalities, right? So, like, there's things that I see that I'm like, okay, this is great. There's things that he sees, he's like, this is great. And then maybe we disagree on that. We talk it out.
Yeah.
And we always, at the end of the day, like, whatever solution, whichever way we go, it's always, like, you know, put together in a way where both of us are fully happy with that and committed to it.
And it's for the greater good of the company.
It's always for the greater good of the company, yeah,
which
right?
is huge.
That's, you got to keep that top of mind all the time.
Yeah, you have to. And I think what's really interesting about you guys is that you don't have the typical visionary integrator type.
No, both visionaries.
Yeah. I remember when we first met, and I think somehow that came up in conversation. I'm like, how does that dynamic work?
Right.
Both of you are visionaries. I would think that sometimes that's a credit and testament to you guys. And I think it's what you said, communication, which isn't breaking ground.
Right.
In any relationship, you got to have that foundation.
Got to have it.
You got to have it. So so we started talking about your business in Jacksonville. You guys are 100% wholesale?
Yeah, so right now I would say 99% wholesale, right? So we will, you know, take some seller finance deals down. We'll do that. And every once in a while now, we still will do a flip or a wholesale deal. It just really depends on the deal. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, though, we're really hard focused on the wholesale and, you know, building up cash that we can go out and use that to create other wealth. You know?
Got it. A team of 9, 100% wholesale. In this market, talk to me, has there been any challenges in scaling to this point? Because as you know, sometimes as you grow a team, the overhead rises and sometimes revenue doesn't necessarily catch up, right? You guys were profitable, you're doing well, but talk to me about, there's a lot of people that listen to the show that they want to get to your point. They want to hire, they want to scale, they want to do more deals, make more money.
Sure.
If you can share some advice or talk to the people that maybe have 2-3 men, 5 woman show, they're looking to do more deals. Is it everything it's cracked up to be, having, you know, a relatively big team? Talk to me about some of the challenges and some of the hurdles you guys had to overcome.
Phenomenal question. What I'll say is this, right? So you should base what you want your business. Don't make it about the glitz and the glamour on, like, hey, I got to have like a 20 person team because I want to look like a badass, or like,
it,
you don't want to do that.
Yep.
What kind of lifestyle do you want to have, right? How involved do you want to be in the business? How much money do you really want to make, right? Because what ends up happening is a lot of us that get into this business, you know, we get it to a point that we like and we keep growing typically and like innovating and everything else, but it's not all, we start building other businesses and everything else, and it becomes then, you know, it depends on what you want, right? Do you want to just go all in on just doing this and build out like a legit, like, huge empire, you're a nationwide home buyer, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of logistics behind that. It's certainly possible. We know people that do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of those things where if you are not careful and you're not paying attention, as you go to scale, the expenses are going to rise.
Yep.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of companies out there that have 3 or 4 people on their team that are putting more money in their pocket than people that have 10 or 15 member teams.
1,000%.
Even though they might do 4 times the deals.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to look at what's important. And at the end of the day, what's important is how much money are you putting in your freaking pocket?
I mean,
I don't care if you're doing 500 or 600 deals, how much money are you making?
Dude, you nailed it, because I think the conversation in our space needs to be more about bottom line versus top line.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
People out there are bragging and boasting about, hey, I have a 7-figure business, but what does that even really mean? You know what I mean? Sure, it's like, we both know people that have 7 figures that might be making a couple hundred grand, you know, which is, that may or may not be what they want. Sure. But to your point, I know, I can think of 2-3 guys off the top of my head that it's them, a VA, and one other person. And they're putting $500,000 in their pocket at the end of the day. Sure. And it's just a very lean machine. And so, man, you hit the nail on the head. What do you want?
What do you want?
That's why I'm big on creating a vision for your life and then making sure that you have a business that supports that vision. Because, you know, having 9, 10, 15, 20 people might not be the best thing for you. Maybe you're not a good operator.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so... And
not only that, it also look at it like this too, that, how much do you want to be involved in the business?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could build out a core group, honestly, of like 3 or 4 people that are running that business, pay them extremely well because they're running. You're still the leadership. You're still involved, right? Like, and then like, you're just going to step away and not do anything. Mm-hmm. You're still involved in it. But if you're not working in the day to day and you're working on the business, that allows you to go out and like build other businesses, stuff like that. And create other opportunities with the money that you make from it. That could be another option. Yep. Maybe you're not passionate about real estate, flipping houses, whatever, you use that as a vehicle to get you into other businesses to have the funds to do that you want, that you are passionate about.
That's right.
Right. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. Yeah. But I totally 100% agree with you. And I think that's a great point. It's about the bottom line, man. Yeah. Like top line, like you could do $10 million a year. If you put $100,000 in your pocket, what the hell is it all for?
Yeah,
that seems like a lot of stress for $100,000.
Yeah, man, how many businesses do we see on the Shark Tanks of the world that go in there and, you know, when they share their top line number, they're all like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What do you actually make? What's your?
I lost $100,000 last year, but I did $10 million in revenue.
Right, exactly. 100%, man.
Yeah.
So I think the takeaway from this part of the conversation is get clear on what you want, what kind of business, how much do you want to be involved, right, and then build it out from there. I think a lot of people fall victim to seeing what others are doing on social media.
Sure.
I want that, but they don't have the full picture. They don't have the context, right?
Right.
Got it. So right now, break down your team. How many acquisitions managers, disposition? Like what's the makeup of your team right
sure,
now?
Sure. So we have 2 sales. We have 1 dispositions. We have a lead manager. We have an office manager / transaction coordinator. She started as a transaction coordinator and we moved her up to manager. She's kind of like the office mom, right? Everyone looks up to her. And
keeps everybody together.
She's not even 30 years old, but like,
okay,
she's the office mom. But we do have some younger people that work for us. So we have a full-time marketing person. We have a VA. We have, we just hired 2 cold callers.
Okay.
Then I feel like I miss somebody.
I was going to say, that sounds like more than 9.
Maybe it is. We did just bring on the 2.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
We obviously, I think I said the disposition.
Yeah. So you talked about cold calling. Let's kind of pivot towards marketing. What are you doing to feed that team? Because I know that you guys have a strong operation. You got to have a lot of leads coming in. Talk to me about marketing. You have a full-time marketing person.
Yeah.
You're obviously cold calling. I know you're big on direct mail.
Yeah, big on direct mail.
What are you guys doing and what do you find is really working for you at this moment?
Yeah, so we obviously cold calling, direct mail. We'll do some RVMs as like supplemental. We do some of those. Facebook ads and Google PPC. So those are our primary marketing strategies. And what I see work the best right now, honestly, is cold call.
Cold calling?
Yeah, I would totally say that cold call. I mean, just simply because the cost to get a deal versus everywhere else. Mail is great.
Yeah.
You still do a ton of deals off of mail, but the cost of mail is expensive, right? Even like at the level we are, we get insane prices because of, you know, the volume.
Right.
But still though, mail is just, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And it's a consistency thing, just like any of these marketing channels. You know, like I got Automator, the software, and like I'll get on there and talk to people that are using it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of them that are new, you know, they sent out like 500 postcards and they didn't get a deal and they're like, and then they stopped and they're like, I'm like, look, this is a volume game, you know, like that's why I always suggest to people. And why I like part of the inspiration we'll do that challenge, is, you know, really like at the beginning, like get in there, kind of get, you know, get your hands dirty a little bit.
Start on the
side,
right?
You know, so you get that experience. Like, you start talking to people, understanding situations, understanding the business more, and it's a very cost efficient way to get started versus going out there and sending a ton of direct mail.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this because we do direct mail as well, not nearly to the scale and volume you guys do. I think we've talked about this in our mastermind. The more competitive our market gets, I think the more archaic marketing is going to become.
What I mean by that is when I got started in 2005,
my first deal was direct mail. My second deal was door knocking.
I think if you can...
Man, door knocking, bro. That's
so how many people out there in your market? Like, I don't personally know. Like, I'm sure there's some door knockers out there.
Many, but I'm going to tell you right now, man. If you could build, like, an army of door knockers...
Yep.
You would kill it.
Yeah, because you're kill it. Customer. Imagine if you, like, think about cold calling. You have to get the person on the phone. And
mail, you got to get them to call you.
Yeah, so, man, in our team, we've been talking more and more about should we invest time, energy, money, and resources into building out and hiring, instead of hiring cold callers, hiring door knockers, which it's harder to scale, but how many people out there are doing
it? You would have a lot of turnover, but Hunter and I have talked about it as well, man. I mean, to build an army, a door knocker, like a door knocking team, because there is a guy in Phoenix that has one.
Oh, really?
He has like 20 or 30 like door knockers, and he absolutely kills it.
Crazy.
You know what his name is? I was talking to someone about another day, and they were telling me about it, and I was like, so I know there's a lot of turnover and something like that. To build out like a door knocking team, that would require some serious time and effort and training and like some real incentive too.
Yeah.
Like, you would really have to incentivize people to do that. So
even for somebody getting started, I always recommend this, but I don't think anybody's ever taken me up on it. I think if you can become successful door knocking, there's nothing you can't do in this business because it takes a lot of balls to walk up to a stranger,
knock
the door, and you know what I mean, and you're gonna get that door shut. But I remember my second deal, dude. I was scared shitless walking up the neighborhoods and just door knocking. I was doing it in the hood.
Right.
And I figured that was my best chance. Man, it's not easy, but when you connect your confidence level with
your sure, sure.
We could have conversations in-house about should we start building out a team of door knockers. I wonder if anybody in our mastermind has done that, but
I don't know. I mean, I can ask next week. When I'm there. That's actually, man. That's
because I just don't know very many people doing it.
I don't either. I heard of that person in Phoenix that has a team doing it, and I've heard some miscellaneous, like, you know, hey, I have one or two kind of like around the country here and there, but never like I'm running my business off of like just like I build a team of door knockers and we door knock every day.
Yeah, got it. So Facebook PPC, direct mail, ringless voicemails. It sounds like aside from door knocking, you guys pretty much cover the gamut from a marketing perspective, right?
Yeah. For the most part, we cover a lot of it. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. What has been from a cost per lead and cost per deal perspective? You said cold calling is your best right now?
Yeah, I would definitely say cold calling. Yeah.
Let's get specifics because some people hear that. What tools are you using to cold call? What's the script like? Are your cold callers, hey, kind of random call here, just wanted to see if you're interested in a cash offer? Like, talk to me a little bit about, let's focus and key in on the cold calling side of things then.
Yeah, no, I mean, all it is like, we're going to make touches, right? And generate interest. Mm-hmm. And then it'll get passed over to an actual salesperson. Okay. So it's only like calling and just generating interest. Hey, we just bought a property in this neighborhood, because here's the thing, when you buy a lot of properties, you bought a property pretty much in every neighborhood eventually, so you can say that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Honestly. So it's literally as simple as this. We bought another property in that neighborhood. We're calling some of the neighbors and seeing if they would be interested in potentially selling, or they know someone in the neighborhood looking to sell.
I like that.
You know what I mean? So as simple as that, simple, you know, don't get on there and like try to go into it. I mean, what we found better results with, and everyone else that I talk to is having great results, is just generate that interest and then pass the lead on. You know, that initial script, you get too crazy with that, man. Like, it usually just, people don't respond to it as well, I find.
Right. And I think from cold calling, one of the things that's really worked for us is that, man, whenever we get a cold call,
my goal is to hop off that call as quickly as possible. So I think if you can identify who you are and why you're calling within the first 5 to 7 seconds.
Yeah, just be straight up with people, man.
Yeah.
Just straight up with people, because that being genuine, like, dude, it'll take you a long way. You know that.
You can read through it.
Yeah. And, oh, absolutely. They, whenever they pick up the phone, they hear it, and you, it just sounds like you're reading off of some script that's like, it doesn't sound like anything you would just say in a natural conversation. Because that's really the thing, too. That's the key, right? Like, it needs to be a natural sounding conversation that comes off genuine. If not, they will sniff that out immediately. And you know what? That's basically what we try to do. And you know what? Just as a brand as a whole, like, we're trying to be genuine with everyone and just, you know, just be straight up with them. Like,
help.
We absolutely want to help.
It's
right?
a business, but you want to help. You got to lead there first.
Yeah, we absolutely want to help. So we really take the approach of like, you know, hey, this is who we are, what we do. Does this match up with anything that you might want to
buy? And I think a couple of tips for people that are cold calling is, number one, when you connect, that's right, I almost forgot what I'm live here. So when we connect with people, don't ask like, hi, is James there? Right? Because you're that's automatically presupposing you don't even know the person. Like when you call me, you don't say, hi, is Alex there?
You just dive into the conversation. You know what I mean? So that's something
that has helped us connect with more people by not asking for the person's name. Because if I get a call, hi, is Alex there? I know that person doesn't know me.
It's just the other thing is
I have found that women cold callers, the connect, not the connect rate, the success rate in actually having a conversation has been better for us than when we've had a man cold
call. Interesting.
I think the disposition is
just a softer, it kind of tends to bring people's guard.
That's been what I have found.
Okay.
I don't know.
Be honest with you, like everyone says that women tend to get better results, but you know, we haven't really dug too far into you know, like analyzing the woman versus the man. But a lot of people say that, so it's probably something that we'll
definitely split testing. How are you guys getting the list? How are you skip tracing, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the way to get the phone number? Right.
I know you have your automator software, so I definitely...
Yeah, we just do it all in the software. So it has built-in skip tracing, and it's literally tied into the biggest, most accurate, like, skip tracing database, right? Like, the best one that you think of. It's not like, you know, some of these, like, 2 or 3 cent phone numbers that are, like... I mean, let's be real. Like,
And that's so funny, James, is that, like...
But our list in there, too. We pull our list in there, and we'll skip trace it in there, and then that's
got it.
I want to get into the automated software
for a second. In a minute, I should say.
Sure. What's interesting is that people spend so much time training cold calling and they're doing all this, and then they go cheap with the data. It makes sense.
No, it makes no sense. It makes
data, because if you don't have good data, what's the point?
No, it makes, dude, it is literally a huge, huge deal not to have accurate data. And no, you're exactly right. People spend all this time on everything else, and then it comes to the actual most important part, which is like your data and like the people that you're going to be reaching out to.
It's stupid.
And then they'll literally cheap out on it and get the cheapest thing they can buy.
It doesn't make any sense. I think what's cool about kind of giving people the background and the context as to how to trigger
business right now is that it allows you the opportunity to build out SaaS, software as a business, right?
The fact that
you had the time to invest resources, time, money, energy into building out this software that's kick-ass, that does all these different things. Talk to me a little bit about the software. What does it have? How do investors benefit? This isn't a sales pitch, but just
talk
about like what, I guess, separates Automator from some of the other tools out there.
Yeah, I mean, so we have... you know, just about any different type of distress list you can think of. There's a couple that we don't have in there, and it's for a reason, right?
Okay.
And then there's another couple that we're adding in there right now. So we're going through a couple big updates. But full MLS access nationwide. So you can do CMAs, like anything as far as that goes in there. Data, regular like high equity, vacant, like bankruptcy, divorce, federal, state tax liens, HOA liens, like all those different types of data, all that data is in there. It also has built-in skip tracing, built-in direct mail, built-in email for free. And you know, one of the really, really cool features, we also have a rehab estimator that we don't talk about a whole lot, but it's integrated with Blue Hammer. So it actually goes in and pulls average construction and material costs, labor costs in each market. So when you're doing the rehab estimate, it's literally basing it off of your city and like what the cost should be there. Right.
So these are all really, really cool features and benefits, but
Which is like, dude, for, Yeah, the MLS nationwide. So, and then also the biggest feature is the Offer Automator feature.
Okay.
So that's something that Sean Terry and I came together and like developed and integrated in there. And it's basically like the whole idea is to pump out like accurate offers as fast as possible. So it's using like the real market data in the background to give you an ARV, an exit price to a cash buyer, your goal target offer, your max allowable offer.
Interesting. And so is this part of the
software? Does it do like, are these individual offers that are going out, or are these like,
no, so you're not sending the offers to anyone. You're just coming. You can just pull up that property. Right. And they'll tell you what to offer. So if you're doing like, you know, some people do like high volume over the phone, like submit offer, submit offer, submit offer. Like this would be a great tool to go in there and just start pumping out offers, you know? And you got to understand comps to use it the right way. And like, that's what we've seen with some people that we did the training and everything on it. So we're releasing more training now or even updating it and making it better. And you know, Sean and I are going to keep just, you know, improving it. And eventually, like, there's no doubt in my mind that this will be like, it'll be so perfect. It'll be so perfect. Like you could get in there and just like pull up a property. Hey, I want to make an offer. Bam. Like within like 5 seconds, you have like solid, like not just offer, but here's your ARV. Here's what I can sell it to a buyer for. Like
it takes all the guesswork out of it.
Takes all the guesswork out of it. And you know, speed is everything.
100%, man. It's crazy because sometimes I talk to people and they spend so much time
on the underwriting side of things, comping, and I'm like, you need to be doing that like under 30 seconds, like under 60 seconds. It should be taking 5-10 minutes to evaluate a property.
Sure, sure.
So, and by the way, shout out to Sean Terry, Flip to Freedom, dude.
Yeah, no,
the guy's a stud, man. He's one of those guys that's always putting out amazing content in our space.
Yeah, Sean's a great guy.
Same with you, man. I love what you're doing. So,
By the way, we're going to have an affiliate link. So if you guys go to flipempire.com/automator, you can check that out. I get a few dollars if you guys sign up, but that's not why I'm recommending it. It's an awesome service. I trust this guy 100%.
Yeah, we'll do 30% off. So
very cool. Very cool. Awesome, man.
What am I not asking? I should be asking.
Oh, no, man. There's a lot. There's a lot. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I think we touched on a lot of things. We touched on team. We touched on marketing. Yep. We touched on some leadership.
Here's actually something I do want to ask you.
Sure.
And hopefully you don't mind me revealing this. Actually, I won't reveal it. I'll leave that to you. And you're kind of squinting, looking at me like,
I'm wondering what it is.
Right? You helped me a lot in the last year. I picked up the phone a handful of times, and you've given me a lot of
tips. Hey, do this from a credibility standpoint.
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah.
And so you don't have to
get specific with it, but what would you say for people that want to separate from the competition?
Right.
Okay.
That don't have their unique selling proposition. Because, man, let's be honest. Everybody buys with cash. No fees,
sure,
no commissions.
Sure.
You close on your closing date. Stop saying that.
Everyone's doing the same.
Everybody's doing that. Right? Yeah. So, like, the manager goes and meets with the seller. There's 15 to 20.
Of postcards, and they all basically say the same thing.
Right.
How are you guys standing out from everybody else in your market?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I get in this conversation with them. You need to come up with some literally like some programs or like, you know, something. Right? Some kind of special promotion when you buy a house, like where you give away a trip or like, you know, you got to think outside the box. You got to get creative. And that's how you're going to stand out.
Right.
Obviously, you know, along with that is making sure that when you go to the appointment, you look legit.
Yeah.
Right. So like, you're not showing up in like tank top, board shorts, flip flop. Branded polo, you got your folder with like your credibility kit.
Yep.
So what we'll do is we use Automator to, we'll print out our CMA, bring our comps that we want to bring. And then we also bring market data. So in there.
Sorry, that's my alarm. If you could just.
There you go.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so in there will also be the market data. So in Automator, when you pull a property, you can also see like the market data. You can also heat map anywhere too and do like rent growth, like price for rent growth. That's you can awesome. Also do value growth and kind of see like what areas are growing, yeah. like, you know what I mean? So, which is great for like virtual wholesalers that want to target,
sure.
you know, they want to move to a different city. They could literally just heat map the country and see like over the last year, 6 months, 1 month, like where all the growth is. Or the cash buyers.
And start doing deals in other markets.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can use it for that as well. Yeah. But yeah, man, like we'll take the actual market data for that area for that property too and bring that with us. So like the average list to sold ratio, stuff like that. And you know, we even bring in a presentation as well. I mean, so you're showing up looking like you are the authority. You have everything that you possibly need to them in their eyes to make them a legitimate offer that's not based on walking around the house and like, then you get back with them and you're like, all right, looks like he's like 30 grand worth of work.
Which they're never going to agree with, by the way.
Well, they'll never agree with it. And like, think about, from a professional standpoint, how you look, that you just walk their house and you come back and tell them that needs $30,000 worth of work out of nowhere. You're not even writing anything down. You just, and you know what, even if, cause at this point, like I've seen so many houses, like I can pretty much walk a house and say, all right, it needs this much. And I'm sure you can as well.
Yeah.
Right. But to them, they will never believe that. Right. So it's like, you've really just by doing that, you've hurt your credibility right out of the gate. So always make sure that you show them how you're coming up with the numbers that you are.
Just a pause for a second. As you show them
how you came up with the number, is your acquisition manager trying to get buy-in from them? Or at least, even if they don't agree with the number, at least is the goal to have them understand how you came up with that number?
Oh, absolutely. So when we leave, we always want them, if we didn't get it or whatever, like we want to be on the same page with them and them to understand exactly why the offer was what it was.
Okay.
And I imagine you're very flat out with the fact that this is a business. You obviously need to make a
sure,
profit.
Sure. You can't like try to hide stuff.
Yeah, people aren't stupid. You know what I mean? Like we let them know right off the bat that, hey, we're not going to live here.
Right. We're going to sell this property and make money.
Right. If I can help you get what you want, is that something that might interest you?
Really, the truth is you get some like wholesaling up into like from a, I mean, you're trading equity for speed and convenience.
That's
really what you're doing.
100%.
You know what I mean? You could look at it as like CarMax, like anything like that along those lines. It's really the same thing, but with houses.
Right.
Let me ask you a couple more questions before we wrap up the show. Do you do all 100% of your deals face-to-face? Okay.
Do you do
We'll do a little bit over the phone, but mostly face-to-face.
Yeah. You consider, because that's another conversation we're having in-house, is that we're kind of testing a hybrid.
Right.
To see if we could, because man, James, one of the challenges we've had here in South Florida is that we'll schedule an appointment. First of all, we try to schedule it as quickly as possible because you know so much can happen, but
sure.
Today is what, Friday?
You might be able to see him until Wednesday or Thursday.
We actually found in the last couple of months, we've lost two deals because we haven't.
Oh, I bet.
And it's like, how do we avoid this?
It was painful. We lost that
because the appointment wasn't for another 3 to 4 days.
Man, this is another really good question that we could go a lot of different ways with this. But this, because we've had this same conversation probably 20, 30 times in the last 2 years in our office, right? Because this is something that happens.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the person that either is setting the appointments or dealing with that lead to really get as much information and much of a feel of if that's going to happen or not over the phone. And, you know, because sometimes you don't want to be first. Like, you know what I mean? So you're really trying to make a decision on, right. Sometimes being first is going to hurt you because there's certain people that are dead set. No matter what you tell them, no matter what, you could offer them more than what they wanted. They're going to go out and talk to other people regardless. They're going to. They're just certain people. It's inevitable. No matter how good of a closer you are, right? So you got that side of it. And then you also got the side where it actually is your benefit to go last, because they've already talked to other people and everything else. So all you can really do is get that person on that's, you know, setting the appointments with them, training with them on how to really like build that rapport with the seller so they can feel that out and do like an if then that kind of scenarios. And then I would also say that, you know, with all the credibility stuff and everything else, and obviously having really good salespeople, that'll help as well. You know, if they're first, if they're a good enough salesperson, even some of the toughest ones, like you can still get them.
Yeah. If I had to choose, I would probably rather the first than last, especially in such
really?
A competitive. I would. I think from
my perspective.
I agree with you, by the way. There's some people that are dead set on me. I am not. But if you have a really good salesperson, I'm banking on them to build so much rapport and get that person to know, like, and trust them in a relatively short amount of time that I want to give him the app back. You know, you can't get on base if you don't step up to the plate. And I guess maybe our experience is that we've taken the, hey, I'd rather go last, let me know, and maybe we can beat thee. And it slipped away from us because somebody else, I think, got to them first, built some level of rapport. It's timing, as you know. So
it is.
You know, it's just
I don't know. It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. Yeah. And you know what? I don't even know if there's really a right or wrong answer here. I really don't think there's a right or wrong. And you know, another argument for going last would be that, you know, you're not that first person kind of breaking, like, bringing that back down to reality. Because a lot of the times, like, that first person, like, the seller has these crazy expectations on what they feel like they could sell that property for. And then you're the first person going in, there's one that's going to kind of like break that to them. You know what I mean? And then by the end of it, a lot of the times it's like, all right, this is just what it is. And that helps you. So it can go either way.
And that's a good point, man, because you.
I think we went so low. Could help the next guy. Or next
that's coming. Absolutely. It's already in their head that this is probably what it's worth.
I forgot who it was, and we'll wrap up here with one more question, but there's something in our mastermind that does some sort of like, whatever, if you bring me a signed contract, if you bring me an offer, this is then talking to the seller, I'll beat it by
$1,000, whatever the number is.
Oh, it's Alvaro.
Okay, a billion.
That's been kind of on the
talking about doing that. I gotta talk to him and see how that works.
Well, here would be the issue with that. It's like, think about it, dude. All like, there's a lot of like newer people out there. That's great, but if they're not, you know, dialed in, they don't have anything to help them like really like make the right offers. Sure. They could go out and make a crazy offer, and then now, like.
I'm sure he has some sort of out.
Sure it is, but then at what point, though, does it become damage your reputation if you're out there, like, and you can't stand up for what you're saying?
Billy, you know, the dude is
shot. I'm sure he's got it figured out.
We got to connect with him and figure that out, and maybe we'll do
it. Yeah, no, I'll ask him next week.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Last question. This is one of the things I usually wrap up on the show. I think I may have asked this already. So
you might know. Knowing what you know now, you're a young dude. Think back to 2010
when you first started the business.
Right.
If you were speaking to the 2010 James Hawk, what would you tell him about building and scaling a business?
Right. I mean, I would tell him that this is a process, right? And also what I've really like, I've been on the path now of like, I love, and it was a realization I made probably about a year ago. I love the process and the hustles. I'm not like extremely, extremely patient. So I'm not going down like the Gary V like patient road. I love Gary V. But, you know, I also think that like, there's a lot of power in like, you know, doing stuff that you love now, having fun now. And like, I feel like that just makes the process and the road getting there that much better. But I think a lot of it too is like, don't look at it as like just a set destination. Right. You know, because here's the thing, the destination is going to change a lot of times along the way. If you look at it as far as really, really long term, so enjoy that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fall in love with like the process of actually out there being an entrepreneur, enjoying it. Take time, like in certain moments, like you find yourself in like somewhere really cool. Like we go to the mastermind in La Jolla and we're like watching these crazy sunsets. Yeah. It's like, just take a minute and like, soak that in, you know? Because there was definitely several years that like, I didn't, like take that time and enjoy it nearly as much.
We've all been guilty of that, James. It's the growth and the fulfillment comes in the journey. The destination is just
it's a landmark or what's that saying? You get to it, and what are you going to do? You're going to say
right. Right. So if you're only trying to enjoy the destination, that's short-lived.
You're going to hit it. And then what are you going to do?
My boy.
This is awesome.
Grab those shots.
That's right. So James, since we're here
in James Hawkins, he had the idea to end.
Take a shot.
With a shot.
It's Friday.
Bourbon Woodford, so
here's
I don't know if I can talk.
I mean, Sean Berger, bro.
We're not cutting this out of the podcast either.
That's real stuff.
There you go. That's not just my voice.
I mean, dude, yeah, no, that's like dull. It's like barrel aged bourbon.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, most people aren't taking shots of bourbon, bro.
Awesome, guys.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate you. I need some water right now, man. But
yeah,
as we start to wrap up the show, appreciate you guys tuning in. James, how do people connect with you, man?
Yeah, so obviously Instagram at James the Hawk, you can find me there. And then I'll hook you up with the link. But primarily, man, I spend most of my time focusing on Instagram and then also YouTube. I'm starting that challenge, the 10K challenge. Okay. I'm gonna be doing that on YouTube.
Really quick, talk about the 10K challenge.
Sure. So not this coming week. I don't know when you're watching this. Like, obviously, it might even already be going on or even done, right? But I'm basically gonna do a free, 100% free training. I'm gonna go YouTube live 2 times a week, and I'm gonna basically give you like the view from everything that I've learned up until this point of 10 years of doing this. If I was brand new, knowing what I know now, how would I get to $10,000 as fast as possible?
I love it.
Right? So, and then the person that can prove and show me that they did the training, they followed it, they get to that $10,000, like, we're going to do something extremely cool, yeah. Right? Like, odds are, like, I'm probably going to fly them in. Like, they can experience Miami, go out one night with me and, like, help, like, put them a business plan together, stuff like that. That's what I'm thinking I'm going to do. And, you know, there'll be some cool stuff, right? And a lot of you even don't win. I'm thinking about doing these challenges, like, every once in a while. But I'm not going to charge anything for them. You just got to make sure you subscribe to YouTube, turn on notifications. So when I go live, you get notified, and, you know, I'll do the challenges. So it'll be cool. I'm excited. Awesome.
All right, guys. So that is a wrap. First podcast episode I ever record outside of Flip Empire HQ, a.k.a. my office. We, as you heard, we did that in my buddy James's high-end condo nestled between Brickell and Wynwood here in Miami. Just incredible views being able to record the podcast with him. And as you saw there, if I would have known that I was going to get all choked up taking a shot of Woodford Reserve bourbon at the end of that podcast, that was his idea. It wasn't a good one. I probably shouldn't have done that. But hopefully you got a good laugh at my expense. Remind me never to do that again, take a shot as I wrap up a podcast. But anyway, guys, James has asked me to speak at his wholesaling intensive here in the Brickell area of Miami, July 25th and 26th. I am excited to speak there. So if you have any interest in attending that wholesaling intensive, reach out to me, alex@flipempire.com. And on a side note, you may have heard, I've touched on this on a few other podcasts, but I'm so excited that I am launching a hybrid between a coaching and a mastermind group that just does not focus on real estate, but it's for any entrepreneurs that not just want a more successful business, they want to make more money, but also people that want to create an impact, people that want more out of life. You know, I'm really interested in working with the influencers, the people that want to design whatever lifestyle, you know, they're after, and then help them create a business that supports that lifestyle. So this is not just a coaching and mastermind group where we focus on the X's and O's of real estate, but it's more where people can go be vulnerable, be real with any challenge they have in not just business, but in their personal life. And there's a one-on-one coaching element as well, in addition to an accountability group mastermind every month. And then, like I said, we meet together 3 times a year in South Florida. I am doing this with somebody who will remain unnamed at this time, but somebody who I highly respect, has become a good friend, and is a big lifestyle guy, very, very successful investor and entrepreneur, and has, who has designed the lifestyle where his business supports him. So we are living our visions, and I want to help people do more of that. So if that's something that interests you, shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. Let me know. Just put interested in the subject line, and we will talk and connect from there. So guys, that's a wrap. That's all I got for you. And go take action with something you heard on the podcast today. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you. Share this podcast with somebody. That's how you can repay me. And if not, that's cool too. Just make sure you subscribe and continue to stay plugged in. Appreciate you, my friend. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.